From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. Today we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, on the subject of reconciliation with God, personal, perfect, and permanent. I trust that you've been enjoying these and that the Lord has made them not just a means of information, but a means of spiritual enlightenment and edification to your heart. We'll be turning for this final study in Colossians 1, 21 and 22 in just a few minutes. But first, as we usually do, we start with our daily devotional and our thought for the day. The devotional is taken from Hebrews 11, verse 21, the subject, a godly seed. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Dying's a serious business. But with what utter lack of interest in self did the patriarchs die? This reference to Jacob a-dying stands in a triad of verses dealing with the passing of three of the patriarchs, Jacob himself, his father Isaac, and his son Joseph. How blessed to read of grandfathers, sons, and grandsons all dying in the victory of grace. Notice that though each man was both great and rich, in his dying moments his thoughts were of more important things. So many men, when they approach death, are concerned with financial matters, but they never give a thought to their spiritual well-being. These men of God had a greater concern than the earthly inheritance that they were passing to their sons. Their chief concern was that their offspring would inherit the blessing of God. They were all concerned about the future of their children and of the church of God. Isaac blessed his sons. Jacob blessed his grandsons. And Joseph spoke of generations not yet born. Parent, grandparent, are you praying for the children at your knees? These men prayed for and blessed their offspring because they were aware that the continued existence and witness of the church involves a godly seed. Spiritual carelessness, especially negligence and apathy among parents, has always resulted in the declension of the church and the work of God. We should note that these men realized that they must relinquish the future of the church to the rising generations. How diligently, therefore, did they teach, train, and instruct those who were to succeed them? Being faithful to God includes not only our own personal service, but also the matter of ensuring that there will be a progeny of like precious faith to carry on God's work. Let us attend to these things, that we may be comforted in the hour of our death by the knowledge that there are those coming after us who will be true to God in the days to come. And our thought for the day from Richard Baxter, holy families must be the chief preservers of the interest of religion in the world.
Far peace, oh.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Lord, grant my yearning heart's desire that I be filled with fervent zeal to save poor sinners from the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell, and turn them to a pardoning God, to cleanse their souls in Jesus' blood. Talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into thy blessed hands receive, and let me live to preach thy word, and only to thy glory live. My every sacred moment spend to publish forth the sinner's friend. Enlarge in flame and fill my heart with thine own boundless love divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine, and lead them to thine open side, the sheep for whom their shepherd died.
It's now time for our final study on the subject of reconciliation with God, personal, perfect, and permanent. Having looked at our past enmity with God and our present amity with God, we have started to deal with our eternal glory as he presents us before God through the merits of Christ in three ways. Holy, that is a word that speaks of our cleansing and separation unto God. Unblameable and unreprovable. As we come to this final study, we are going briefly to repeat or restate the main point here, our glory, and the three things that it entails. And we're going to deal in a little more detail with the final one today, unreprovable or perfectly justified in his sight. And then we will end up, we trust, with a pertinent and personal application, because it's no use us simply knowing the theory of what the Bible says here. That's important that we know what it says, but it is equally important that having learned the truth, we apply it personally to our own hearts, because the all-important question is not simply do I understand what the Bible teaches by personal reconciliation with God, but have I personally entered into the assurance of such a standing with God? So now let's turn together to the Word of God in Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22.
The third great thing that Paul deals with here is our eternal glory. There is a purpose in all this, and it's in verse 22, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's the goal. That's the purpose of reconciliation. And put quite simply, it is that we may share the eternal glory of Christ and with him. But this glorious future for the people of God has already begun to be experienced. You see, the glorious effects of Christ's reconciling sacrifice have already begun. Take these three things that Paul here talks about. That you may be holy, cleansed and separated unto God as his people. But then unblameable. That would speak of us being without spot or without blemish. And unreprovable. Perfectly justified. Beyond accusation or charge. Romans chapter 8, 33, 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In other words, he's saying, this is not just a future thing. Justification is operative here and now. The people of God cannot be cursed. The people of God cannot be accused. The people of God cannot be charged for their destruction. Can't happen. Why? Because God justified them. Because Christ died for them. Christ rose again for them. Christ is at the right hand of God for them. Christ is making intercession for them. Four immutable pillars upon which Christian security stands. Here it is. This is the present dignity of believers. But it's also their future destiny. We often think of those words in Ephesians 5. And because they're usually read at a marriage service, we emphasize the duty of husbands here. And of course, every woman knows that husbands need to be reminded of their duty. That's why they're so good at reminding us. Well, why this speaks to husbands, it reminds us first and foremost of Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Now, let that be accepted. And let husbands do that. But for a moment,
let us just put the husbands to the side and let's see the great prototype here. Let's see Christ himself. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that in order that he might sanctify and cleanse it. There's the holy, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. There's the without blemish and without spot, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, unreprovable for all eternity. That's the ultimate goal. He's going to do that. There's a day coming when the weakest believer, the most stumbling Christian, justified freely by the grace of God, will be gathered up in the whole body of Christ and will be presented there purer than the creation of an angel. It will happen. It cannot fail to happen, because there's no taint of failure in the death of Jesus Christ. Now let's come full circle. The Lord found us a people who were hateful and full of hatred against him. He found us a people who were hostile to him, a people who were dead set in our enmity to God. He could have dealt with us in pure justice, and we could not have had one word of complaint. Had God damned us to the deepest hell, from hell we must have lifted our voice and said, O Lord, thou art righteous. He could have dealt with us in pure justice. But thank God he dealt with us in love and grace. We were enemies, but he reconciled us. Notice the action is his. He reconciled us in the body of Christ's flesh through death. He brought us into fellowship and into friendship, making us nigh with a reconciliation that is personal and perfect and permanent. You were sometime alienated and enemies, but now he has reconciled you. That's the testimony of every Christian. The question you have to answer today is simple. Is it my testimony? Can I sing the words that we were singing in Robert Murray McShane's hymn, I once was a stranger to grace and to God? Or do you have to say, I still remain a stranger to grace and to God? Make sure you know where you stand with God. And if today you're out of Christ, perhaps blessed with all those blessings that I enumerated earlier, and you're employing them all in a hateful rebellion against your God, if you're found still out of Christ, make sure today that, recognizing your sin, you call on him for mercy and cry to him to deal with you through the merits of his blood and bring you into friendship, fellowship, perfect reconciliation with God. Is there a more beautiful word on the lips of the Lord Jesus than that which he spoke to his disciples. Ye are my friends. Is there anything we need more to hear than that assurance from the Lord Jesus? You are my friends. I wonder, is that what he has to say to you today? I wonder, have you ever been reconciled to God? Brought out of your wicked works of rebellion and brought into the saving merits of Christ's sacrifice? If not, then let me call you to Christ. The command of Scripture is repent and be converted. Make sure you come to Christ to be brought nigh to God, for there's no other way. And if you are saved, if you're made nigh to God, then remember what Peter said. You're now a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. So abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. If you're a friend of God, then live that way. For his blood has power to keep you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, even in this filthy world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Give fruit for the preaching of it. And our God, we pray that today thou wilt bring fruit in the lives of those who are not saved, to bring them to Christ. Bring fruit forth in the lives of those who are saved, to lead them on in separation from the world, as they would live out their lives in holiness unto God. What a joy it is to be the friends of God in Christ. What a joy it is to have the old enmity removed, the old hatred removed, the old hostility removed, the great gulf removed. Oh Lord, what a joy it is to be made nigh to God through the death of thy dear Son. Make this the testimony of all who have gathered here today, we ask of thee. And God grant that for all eternity we'll be able to praise God that he used his word even this Sabbath day to bring some into life eternal by faith in Christ. Bless those who travel now. Bless those who remain around the table of the Lord. And God grant that today heaven will come down our souls to greet, and glory will crown the mercy seat as we meet around the Lord's table. We ask these things, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.